A resource we have for you is our Mom Squad. That is a private Facebook group for you parents. It's a private community of parents with kids and teens with learning and attention challenges. You can request to join by going to our Facebook page and clicking the link, or by going to Facebook groups and searching the keywords SLC Mom Squad. We post resources. You can get advice from the community. And I also have some guides related to different learning challenges, including auditory processing. In response to our question about our parents that advocate, that had to advocate for their kids, I got a response in Mom Squad from a mom who calls herself a recovering helicopter mom. And so I'll paraphrase because it's quite long. She's been on a real journey with her son. But basically, she said that in elementary school and middle school, every single year at the beginning of the school year, as soon as they found out who her son's teachers were, she'd email the IEP team or the team of teachers and just kind of list out her son's challenges, just also describe him and his strengths. So that they weren't always focused on just what the IEP said. So she did that. And now he's in ninth grade. He's a freshman in high school. And now she's trying to get him to start to do that. But this year in high school, and it was, she's saying, you know, not a traditional year because of hybrid learning. He's pretty embarrassed. So he's not wanting to shine extra light on himself. He's trying to blend in. It's that age. And so she's just asking for some advice on how to deal with that. Like, just, you know, a lot of teenagers do not want to put their hand up and be like, I'm different. But she realizes that she can't be the one advocating for him in high school. So any advice on how to go about that for teens? Because it is an awkward time. They don't want to say, hey, there's something wrong with me. But she's really seeing this as being a life skill for him and hoping that he'll be able to carry that with him into college.
Yeah, so I definitely have felt what your son is feeling on so many levels. I understand you completely 100%. It is very awkward to go out there and, you know, whenever you have this new person in your life, whether that's a new teacher for your son or a new friend or whoever, it's going to be a new boss sometime in the future, maybe, it's going to be awkward. And it's weird to go up to a person and say, you know, hi, my name is so-and-so. Guess what? I have this disorder. And guess what? Now you have to accommodate me. It's so awkward. It's so awkward. Like, I can't stress that enough. It's so weird. And because normally you don't have to say that, because people don't have that sometimes. And I've had that where I'm like, what if I meet someone new and I have a casual conversation with them and I don't say that I have APD or ADHD, dyslexia, whatever it is you have. What if I don't say that? Then I automatically am not this disabled person, and I'm not this person with a disorder that struggles so hard. And they don't ever have to know that. All they know about me is I'm a girl and I'm just living my life, you know? So it is going to be awkward when you, when your son meets new people and he has to advocate for himself. Just know, like I said before, that if he starts like, how do I say this right? If he starts doing the small and simple things right now, for example, calling into those doctor's appointments or going in before and after school to get help on math worksheets or whatever it is, it's going to get easier. It's not always going to be awkward. It is not always going to feel weird. It will get better and it's going to get easier. I promise you that.
And
great advice.
She said something really important there. She said, start with something small and simple. Someone really safe that you can say, hey, I need a little help with this, or it doesn't have to be a big, huge thing, but start with something small. If your son needs to sit in the front of the class, maybe that's it. It's not everything. It's just, hey, I really need to sit in the front of the class so that I can really pay attention to you while you're speaking. That might be a start. Just to be able to say that or to email that, something like that.
And once he gets comfortable with talking in front of people about it and going to his teachers and saying, hey, I have this stuff, I remember when I was younger, whenever my mom's friends would come over, and there'd be a lot going on, a lot of noise, lots of things happening. And it was helpful for me because I could say, hey, I have APD. And I was comfortable with saying that because I had gone to teachers before and because I had communicated with them. So it was easier for me to talk to adults and higher authoritative figures, because that's part of the awkward part, is you're talking to these people that you have no idea who are. And you're like, wow, you have a lot more responsibility than I do. So yeah, once you get comfortable talking to teachers, talk to just adults in general and say, hey, I need a little bit of help here.
Great advice. I think Karen was kind of in the same mindset. She posted this right as I was reading about this other mom's journey. And she says, you're my hero, Adeline. My son is in seventh grade and likes to stay under the radar. What's something I, the mom, can say to him to encourage him to advocate for himself? So we talked about, you know, starting small. Is there anything like talking directly to teens and that awkward phase of life that we could say to them to help encourage them to be okay with this?
I mean, you've heard this your whole life, but practice makes perfect. You know, I hated that when my mom said it to me, but it kind of started clicking and I was like, oh, this is getting easier. And oh, this is not as awkward or not as terrifying, because my whole body would clench up and I would feel so stressed and I would shake and I would sweat when I talked to my teachers about it. But I could, when I would just talk to them, and I could relax and I could be okay. So yeah, practice makes perfect. Start with the small and simple things again and build up from there. Don't start with this massive presentation to give to your teachers. Start with the email. If it's an email and that's what you have to start with, sorry, start with that. If it's like a super short note saying, I have APD, I need to sit in front of the class and I'm going to say, huh, or what a lot, do it. And it will slowly build. It's slowly going to get easier.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's really helpful for kids if we as parents are able to think about instances, you know, I mean, there are things that we all need to ask for help with. It's possible you're asking your teenager to help you with your computer. And I know I would be, you know, and so, you know, you may say, you know, every time I have to ask you to help me with my computer, I feel kind of silly, like I should know this, but I don't. I don't know everything. I can't do everything. And so sometimes I have to ask for help, and it's the same thing. But if we can give them an example of, you know, we all do it. It's just different stuff.
Also, I feel like from my experience, when I've been in a classroom, and I mean, I've lived with this disorder for my entire life, I sometimes feel like, why don't I understand this yet? Like, why can't I just process the information fast enough? Why can't I be a normal kid? Why isn't this working for me? And I'll still be in class even to this day. And I'm like, I know I can't zone out because then I'll lose all the information and I'm going to have to go back later. But sometimes I'm like, I don't understand why my body just can't process it like a snap of a finger. And it's just, sometimes it's hard and it's annoying for myself even, because I'm just not processing it fast enough and it bothers me so bad. But then I have to remember, it's just taking me extra time. It's going to be fine.
We all have our things. I am never going to be in the WNBA because I'm 5'2". I mean, truly, that went out the window for me. So yeah, I really do think when we at the center, we talk to our kids, I usually use that example. I say, we all have our things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so just having that humility, I think really does help. Laura chiming in, she says, Still Learning Center, I always advocate for my daughter. She's 10 and was diagnosed at age 7. I'm constantly fighting for support and services for her because it's such an invisible disability and she overcompensates and really works so hard that some don't even realize. Make sure your school has a workshop with the child's teachers regarding APD and teach them about it. I am fully honest to introduce myself to all the teachers at the beginning of the year. Yes. You know, and a lot of times we've heard this from parents over the years that they have to educate the teachers a lot of times in regards to auditory processing disorder. It is not something, I'm a former teacher myself, it is not something that is taught in the teacher education programs at all. So that's great advice. Thank you, Laura. We have a parent of a current student. My 8-year-old daughter goes to Stoll in Thousand Oaks. I'm very new to learning about dyslexia. When you are describing auditory processing, I feel like you are describing me exactly. Struggling in school was a norm for me from elementary through college. Difficulty paying attention, hearing the teacher, but not understanding the material. And I was always behind. Distractions were always a problem for me, and it seems like auditory processing is still a struggle. Is this a hereditary problem? Let me get the rest of it. And are there resources for parents?
It can be hereditary. It isn't always. There are a lot of things that impact auditory processing. And so you know, it's hard to say, but it certainly can be hereditary. Dyslexia can be hereditary. And here's the thing that I would say to adults is that changing the brain and addressing these issues are not age exclusive. You know, it certainly makes life easier if you can address those underlying issues and develop the auditory processing or the underlying skills that are needed so that dyslexia doesn't have to be an issue for you or whatever it is. It's certainly easier if you can do it younger in terms of you don't get so far behind and you don't have to struggle for so long. But all of the tools to develop these skills, you know, work for any brain, any age. And so it's never too late. We work with adults and, you know, see wonderful changes.
Absolutely. And since your daughter is already attending with us, she is probably on a sound therapy program. We also recommend that our parents get an account or share, if it's on an iPod, share the equipment and also do the sound therapy as well. And we've had parents see remarkable changes in themselves just by sharing the sound therapy with their child. Parents, if you want additional information, resources, support, we have our private Facebook group, Mom Squad. You can request to join. It is a private group. We want to keep it a closed group for parents of kids and teens with learning and attention challenges. We share resources. We have parents that post questions specifically about their kids or their struggles. We have a lot of support in that in Mom Squad. So you can request to join. I've also posted guides, which are kind of like files relating to different skills like dyslexia. We do have a guide on auditory processing, and in there I have posted a resource for parents, which is a list of potential accommodations that you can ask for your school. So request to join our Mom Squad. We'd be happy to have you.